And as we stand, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, please speak to us through your word that we may go out from this service knowing you better, loving you more, and to serve you with our whole lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We who are Christians believe we have a message for the world, don't we? A message we call the gospel, which means good news. A message focused on the person of Jesus Christ. We maintain that he is both fully man and fully God, that he lived a perfect life, that he was crucified on a cross in the first century AD, and that 3 days later he rose to life again. We claim that therefore he is alive today, and that he alone is able to forgive people their sins and grant them eternal life. We believe there's plenty of evidence to support our assertions. But if Christianity is such good news, and if it's so evidently true, why is it that so few people in Britain today are committed Christians? Well, much of the answer to that question lies in this little incident at the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus healed a paralyzed man. The story reveals some barriers to belief. They were common barriers to belief then, and they still are today. If you shut your Bibles, please turn again to John chapter 5, page 1009, and it will help you to follow what I'm saying. The first barrier to belief is the person of Jesus himself. You see, some people have problems with Jesus. Oh, very few people seriously doubt that he ever existed because he's referred to in some of the secular literature of the time. But was he as the Bible records him? Clearly a good man, it's easy to see that. Here in John 5, he consciously chooses to go to a place in which, verse 4, a number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Bethesda was a place of suffering, of misery. Many of us would be repelled by it, but Jesus was drawn there, and not just to watch. He wanted to help. He was undoubtedly a good man. Sadly, for many people both then and now, that just about sums up Jesus, a good man. They see him as a genuine historical figure, yes, but a dead historical figure. A harmless, travelling, medicine man come teacher. A good man, but nothing more. But we know, don't we, that if the Bible picture of Jesus is correct, that is the one thing he cannot be. Why? Well, because the Bible portrays him as performing amazing miracles like the one here, which finally lead up to the greatest miracle, his own resurrection from death. And the factual details are remarkably accurate all the way through. In this case, a pool just like the one described here by the sheep gate with five porticos has been unearthed by archaeologists. I've been to Jerusalem and seen it with my own eyes. Perhaps some of you have too. Here, says John, is where Jesus healed a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. And he did so simply by the power of his spoken word. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The healing was instantaneous and complete, leaving no doubt that it was a genuine miracle. But Jesus didn't use it to attract attention to himself. Instead, verse 13, he slipped away into the crowd. The Bible portrays Jesus as a humble man, A good man, a humble man, and yet at the same time, one who claimed to be equal with God. Look on just for a moment beyond our passage to verse 18, where John explains that the Jews wanted to kill Jesus because he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Elsewhere, as you'll know, he claims the authority to forgive people's sins, to give them eternal life, to be the only way to God. Such are not the claims of any ordinary teacher-healer, of any mere good man. Either they are true, or Jesus was one big arrogant fraud. Most people are quite happy to believe Jesus was a good man, but they never bother to inquire any further. They never seriously consider his character, his claims. But the Bible does not allow us simply to think of him as a good man. It reveals him as perfect man. And not only as perfect man, but also as fully God. Each of us has to make up our own minds about Jesus. And the choice is simple. Either he is what he claimed to be, God's Son, Almighty God come to earth, or he was a fraud and a blasphemer. So, what do you think of him? Some people have problems believing Jesus is more than just a good man. Others have even bigger problems, bigger barriers to belief, because they have problems with pride and with preconception. Consider those Jewish leaders of the time. They were obsessed with legalism, to the total exclusion of any real concern for people in need. Look at verse 10 and you'll find their response to this healing. They said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." If it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable, wouldn't it? Their laws specified 39 tasks that were prohibited on the Sabbath, and carrying something from one place to another was one of them. For them, that was far more important than for a fellow human being to be made well after 38 years of being paralyzed. Elsewhere, Jesus calls their attitude hypocrisy. They sincerely believe that they, of all people, were the most right with God, while all the time they were most seriously wrong. Instead of rejoicing with this healed man, they could only condemn him. Instead of marveling at the person of Jesus, they began to persecute him. Partly because his actions threatened their own authority, and they were full of pride in their own authority, but also, as we've already seen, because he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. To the Jewish leaders, that made him a blasphemer deserving death. If only they had really known their scriptures, because then they might have recognized in Jesus their Messiah, their Savior. Healing was one of the Messiah's prophesied ministries. But they didn't really understand their scriptures at all. They were spiritually blind. They couldn't see the miracle. They couldn't see the miracle worker. Their tragic spiritual state is summed up later in the chapter, in verse 39. Jesus says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you possess eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." What makes people unwilling to be healed and forgiven and saved by Jesus today? Is it not the same things? Spiritual blindness, which renders them unable to grasp that the benefits of salvation far, far outweigh the temporary inconveniences of changing one's views or lifestyle in front of other people. A mixture of pride and preconception which refuses to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. These Jews were full of such pride and preconception. It prevented them from believing in Jesus. Some people have problems with the person of Jesus. Some people have problems with pride and preconception. But everyone has problems with sin. The man who was healed is an example of all of us. Jesus knew that this man had been ill for a very, very long time. He knew his despair, knew his hope, knew his need. Clearly, the water of Bethesda was widely regarded as healing water, and clearly the rule at Bethesda was every man for himself. Verse 7, I have no one, sir, to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. The law of sin is survival of the fittest. They were all tripping over each other to get into the water. And yet Jesus didn't immediately act. First, he asked what might seem a silly, strange question. Do you want to get well? What sort of question is that to a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years? Why did he say it? You might think the man would respond to Jesus' question with an enthusiastic, yes, of course I do. But it seems that his mind and soul and will were as paralyzed as his body. He was like most people most of the time. He wasn't thinking spiritually at all. And what made him like that? Look on again to verse 14. A little after this incident, Jesus found this man again in the temple and said, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Elsewhere, of course, Jesus makes it clear that it's not sin that always causes physical suffering, nor that physical suffering is always caused by sin. But in this case, his words imply that for this man, there was a direct connection. We aren't told what sin he was involved in, but one of the deadliest characteristics of all sin is that it hinders us from seeking its own cure. Sin takes away from us the desire to submit ourselves to Jesus for healing. So it seems that behind Jesus' question in verse 6 lay a desire to test this man's will and encourage him to think spiritually. In effect, Jesus is saying, will you consider your need for spiritual healing as well as physical? Are you prepared to face up to your sin and turn away from it? The consent of the will is even more important to spiritual healing than it is to physical. On the human side of things, it is the first step towards salvation. Many who say they can't believe in Jesus Christ for intellectual reasons are in fact simply not willing to believe, either because they're too proud to admit their need, or because they know that to believe will mean changes in their lifestyle and they're simply not prepared to change. Jesus would not and does not help people against their own will. On the other hand, he is eager to help anyone who sincerely wants his help. His will is God's will, that is, that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We're not told why he singled out this particular man for healing. There were plenty of others at the Pool of Bethesda, except that this was transparently not a man who deserved healing. He was a sinner. Perhaps Jesus selected the most helpless, most hopeless of all the invalids at Bethesda that day. Perhaps he was illustrating the law of grace, by which it is precisely the least fit who survive. This man was not thinking spiritually. The most he expected, clearly, was that Jesus might help him into the pool. Nevertheless, when Jesus spoke to him, he obeyed and was healed. Jesus' word was able to penetrate his spiritual dullness. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." The man might have protested, "I can't, I'm paralyzed, can't you see?" But he didn't. He obeyed. He did the very thing he was unable to do. At once he picked up his mat and walked. Jesus told him to do the impossible. But with the command came the power to fulfill the command. Later, this man met Jesus again, as we've seen, in the temple. Sadly, there's no evidence that he ever truly believed in Jesus. Jesus never says to him, "Your sins are forgiven," and we never hear of him again. It is possible to meet with Jesus and experience his power, and yet still not to be saved. Jesus' words are a warning to all of us not to abuse God's mercy and grace. What Christ did physically for this man, he's willing to do spiritually for every one of us. Jesus knows every one of us just as well as he knew this man. He knows what barriers lie between us and wholehearted faith. He knows our despairs, our hopes, our needs. He knows we may have problems in understanding who he is. He knows we may have problems with pride and preconceptions. He knows we do have problems with sin. But before he will supply our need, he asks each of us the same question. Do you want to be healed? And he waits for each of us to answer. Amen.